We have so much to update them on.
I know.
That's insane. It's gonna be weird being like, hi guys, I have cancer.
I feel like you should just use that clip.
I will.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through.
Welcome back. This is Cuckoo Bananas! A Degrassi : The Next Generation podcast. I am your host, Keely Bell, and I am joined with...
me, I'm Ezra Parter.
Yeah, and it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while.
I think our last upload was in May, and our last recording was in April.
Wow, that is so long ago.
Yeah.
And, like, crazily lines up with everything that has happened to you.
Yes, it really is. Just a little life update in case you don't follow the Instagram or my TikTok or anything, which a lot of you probably don't.
But you should.
Yeah, you should. At OMG It's Key and at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast. I have cancer. Isn't that crazy?
It's so crazy, babe. When I started dating you, my first thought was like, yeah, this girl could get cancer. But I didn't think it would come true. You know?
Yeah. And you know, living my life, I was like, I could get cancer. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it would come true.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. In case you guys haven't heard, I have a large B-cell lymphoma in my chest. And I have gone through one round of chemotherapy to try and shrink it. And I'll be going into my next round next week. If the time allows, or if the universe allows, because guess what, guys? Daniel, our beloved Daniel, my roommate, my best friend, sometimes my co-host, has COVID. So,
yeah, like the one thing that the doctors were like, hey, try to avoid this while you have cancer.
Yeah, try to avoid getting COVID. So, of course, the person that I literally live with gets COVID. So now we are quarantining.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, that's where I'm at emotionally. How about you, honey?
Yeah, I'm pretty much right there also. Yeah. Because that all really affects the person that I love the most in the world. So it'd be really bad if you had to go to the ER.
But yeah.
Mostly because I don't want to sleep on the floor in there again.
I know. That was the worst. Yeah, the last month has been crazy. There's been a lot of Ezra sleeping on hospital floors and futons. Mm-hmm. Me sleeping on hospital beds with terrible heartburn.
Getting woken up every 3 hours to like draw your blood or something.
Yep. Woken up every 3 hours to do my vitals, draw my blood, et cetera. Lots of hats. I've been gifted lots of hats.
So many hats. And my mom threw in a scarf too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm bald now, which is fun. I did cut my hair, but it pretty much all fell out immediately after. So
it was crazy because it started with body hair first. And we're like, is this going to like get to the head yet? And
yeah.
Then it did. And it was
immediately.
Like so sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, one day I was like feeling my fingers in my hair and just kind of feeling around. And then suddenly I felt a chunk of my hair fall. And I used to have braids. I had box braids. Mm-hmm. And so the middle section of one of the braids, just I felt it fall out of my head. But it stayed on my head because it was in the braid.
Right.
And so suddenly there was a huge bald spot in my hair. And then over the next few days, just bald spots everywhere. And I was like, oh, this needs to go.
Yeah, that was crazy. Mm-hmm. And there's so many like little details that you know about cancer and then you see them up close and you're like, oh, I did not know.
Yeah.
I did not get this at all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's a big one.
Like being in the hospital and getting a pulmonary embolism.
That was literally the worst day of my life.
I'm
so
sorry.
No, it's okay. It's just I watched you die. But
yeah,
you didn't.
I didn't.
You didn't.
Yeah, it was very scary. I passed out because there was a blood clot in my lung, which was fun.
I had a full on like run into the hallway of a hospital yelling help.
Yeah.
Moment And the nurse was like, did somebody call for help? I'm like, was I not loud enough? Am I not a good enough actor? Did it not read? Was it not convincing?
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been literally insane. But we figured we've got a little bit of time since we're in quarantine. And, oh, right, we've been watching Degrassi. That's the other thing.
We set up a projector in the hospital room. Mm-hmm. So we can watch whatever we want instead of just dumb hospital TV. Right. Watched a lot of Degrassi.
Watched
a lot of Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah. So
this is a Degrassi podcast. We don't talk about your other shows.
We can't. Yes, we can. No. We had the projector in the hospital room, so we watched a lot of Degrassi, but we didn't podcast it, obviously.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't going to bring the mics to the hospital. That seemed like overkill.
A little overkill. We already had the projector.
Yeah. Every doctor wanted to say something about the projector.
The day that you brought your self-tape equipment was
fun. Oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't end up doing it. We tried, and then I was like, this is horrifying.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what, agent, my girlfriend has cancer, I'm not doing this commercialization. Thank you very much. I don't need to work for Microsoft when I'm working for my girl.
Thank you. But yeah, so we figured since we watched a bunch in bulk, mm-hmm. we would then do an in bulk episode to kind of catch you guys up, because we have finished, we finished season one and season two at this point. So we are very far from where the listener last knew you and your knowledge of Degrassi.
Yeah,
so.
I've more than doubled how much Degrassi I've seen since last time we spoke.
Yeah, and you know new characters, mm-hmm. you know some of the big plot points that have happened.
Yeah,
and I decided that, because like obviously we could have just kept watching, but I decided I think it would be time to start podcasting again. I almost said potting.
It's time to start potting again.
Yeah. I think it would be time to start podcasting again at season three, because as the listener knows, season three is when shit gets nice and real and sexy and fun.
That's crazy, because season two felt pretty real and sexy and fun.
Less sexy. Yeah, less sexy. But yeah, season two is when it starts to get real.
Spike and Snake.
I don't know.
Is there anything more sexy than thinking about what they do off camera?
Is there anything more sexy than thinking about what a 6'4" man and a 4'11" woman did to make a baby?
I mean, that opens up a lot of positions, I won't lie.
It really does. It really does. We've also been watching a lot of How to Build a Sex Room, in case you guys didn't know. I heavily recommend it. But yeah, so should we kind of get into our little recap?
This I is guess so,
gonna
yeah.
be a little like, it's not very structured. I'm just basically gonna bring up certain points and we're gonna recap them very quickly and also share our thoughts and opinions. Because mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, if you're listening to this, you know what they are. You know the plot of it. Mm-hmm. So,
and you already know our thoughts and opinions.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is our thoughts and opinions are what you're here for.
Right.
At least that's why I listen to podcasts.
I think you're here for my jokes.
Yeah. Are you guys? Let us know. Email us. So yeah, where we last left off was the episode Secrets and Lies, which mm-hmm. was when we found out that Ashley had a gay dad.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
That's right. That feels like 20 years
it
ago.
It really, really does. Because at this point, by the end of season two, Ashley's a totally different person.
Yeah, she has like three gay dads.
So we had just left off at Secrets and Lies. And after that, I'm just going to pick some of the highlights of season one.
Okay.
Sean and Emma start dating.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I don't care.
You don't care? Even after season two?
I mean, I don't know. I don't really like them together very much, if I'm being honest.
Interesting.
I think like, Sean sucks a lot. I don't care for Sean's character very much. Mm-hmm. I think he's like pretty bland and like, yeah, I'm poor, but like, okay, do something about it, you know?
Do something about it. He's 14.
Get a fucking job, Sean. No, but just like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know.
I understand what you mean.
Poor, troubled past. It's like a classic trope, not really like a unique, interesting character.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could say that Sean gets way more interesting soon.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say that I think he does. That's all up to interpretation and mm-hmm. opinion. Like, I think he stays pretty the same for a while, and then later is when he gets much more interesting.
Okay. Well, I'll hold my breath, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But you're gonna have to do so for a few seasons, honestly.
Well, then I'm gonna be the one with the medical problems.
Yeah.
But but yeah, I don't know. And then Emma is like, I guess she's like cool in our protagonist theoretically, mm-hmm. but she's pretty bland too, if mm-hmm. I'm being honest.
I think where Sean and Emma work is that Emma is always trying to, she's trying to fix and trying to help.
Yeah.
And Sean needs helping and fixing. And that's bad, right? Like, right. That's not a good trope for women typically. Mm-hmm. But I also think that Sean is always challenging her worldview by simply existing, because he personally would never challenge her. He supports her so much. But him existing challenges her worldview a lot, because mm-hmm. Emma does come from, even though Emma thinks she comes from from a place of not much privilege, because mm-hmm. she's like, oh, my mom's a single mom. She was a teen mom. She only makes enough money to take care of just the two of us, mm-hmm. yada, yada. I think she thinks that she's much less privileged than she is. And then she meets Sean and she has to kind of recognize her privilege, which at this point in the series is basically all of Emma's plots, is realizing her privilege.
Yeah, that's true. And that's something that I feel like not a lot of shows were tackling head on.
No, yeah.
Which is something that you have to give Degrassi props for.
Because mm-hmm, we get to see that in which is an episode we've already covered, which is the news about kids episode, when she's like, this is propaganda.
Oh, and they're this
propaganda gets us our computers.
Right.
And then we get to see it again in season two with the GM Foods episode, mm-hmm. where it's like, we don't know what GM Foods are going to do. And they're like, well, it's going to feed all the kids who can't eat at home. Mm-hmm. So,
so you don't have to eat them, but stop it.
Yeah. Another fun thing that has happened in season one is that Manny tried out for the cheer squad.
Yeah.
And while that, I don't know, that might not seem, because especially like by season two, we don't really get much of Manny on the cheer squad.
Well, I mean, it's in there.
It's in there a little bit.
In the Lauren Collins character's mm-hmm. stuff. What's her name again?
Paige.
Paige, and all the Paige stuff, which I'm sure we'll get to in a second. But I think, yeah, Manny's involved in all of that because she's on cheer.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That is true. But yeah, we don't really, and like Manny being on the cheer squad in season one was like the first time that we get to see her and Emma on different sides of a problem.
Because Emma thinks like dancing is not for women. Dancing is something men do in Magic Mike.
Emma thinks that cheerleading is sexist somehow. Mm-hmm. Even though at this point in the world, Bring It On has happened. Like mm-hmm. I still don't understand how Emma could have such an outdated worldview on.
Well, because she's written by a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, that's true. It's like yeah, like she like Emma being a little girl having this worldview on cheerleading after the release of the film Bring It On, mm-hmm. which shows cheer as a female dominated sport, not for the male gaze.
Right.
Is so interesting to me.
Well, I don't know. Has she seen it? Is it canon that she's seen Bring It On?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well then, you know,
so we end season one mm-hmm. on a culmination of the season. Everyone is at Ashley's house.
Oh yeah.
And, JT and Toby are trying to get Emma, so they invite Sean to
Toby help. Wants to hang out with Emma, so he invites Sean over because that will get Emma over, because mm-hmm. Emma's dating Sean.
No, she's not dating Sean at this point.
Right, they're under mad pressure at each other.
Right before this is the episode where they break up.
Right, they break up.
I think that's the episode where Jimmy and Sean have a fight and then he pushes Emma to the ground.
Yes, that's right.
The horrible, Sean. It's like the middle school version of the wacky misunderstanding where mm-hmm. it's like Sean's in a fight and he's angry and he's seeing and he mm-hmm. turns and Emma's like, Sean, stop. And he pushes her. And then it's like, oh, you're a violent monster.
Yeah. You and your leather jacket can go home.
Denim jacket.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you had a leather jacket.
No, it's always denim.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, at this point, Sean and Emma are broken up and he's really sad about it because he feels really bad for what he did.
Yes, yes, yes. And so then, yeah, so he ends up at the party, and Ashley, it's all because Ashley and Toby's parents are out of town. Say, don't have a party, and this both is kids all, are like, we're going to have a party.
Everything that happens because of this party is Kate and Jeff's fault. Mm-hmm. Kate and Jeff couldn't stay home for one weekend. They had to
hire a dang babysitter.
Or hire a sitter.
Ashley may be old enough to watch Toby.
Clearly not.
Not old enough to make good decisions.
Clearly. Yeah. Like, bring grandma over or mm-hmm. something. Yeah, this is all Kate and Jeff's fault for not watching their kids. But
as always, this whole show is Kate and Jeff's fault.
Honestly. But yeah, Ashley has a little party. Mm-hmm. It's just a sleepover, her and the girls. Mm-hmm. And then Toby has JT and Sean over. And JT somehow brings ecstasy.
Yeah. Really didn't explain how he got it.
He got it from his cousin. But like, right. how did his cousin get right. it? And why would he give it to a 12-year-old?
Yeah. It's another one of the many times where JT just like has some family for convenience. Mm-hmm. But
literally every single time they mention JT's mom, dad, or whatever, I'm like, they don't exist, because in season 5 we will find out that he lives with his grandma and his parents both dipped out on his life.
Mm.
But yeah, there's no.
So I guess when he said his cousin, he really meant his grandma.
Maybe his grandma's a drug dealer.
I think that's the only reasonable explanation.
Yeah, I think so.
but yeah, he brings ecstasy. And he's like, Sean, you know how to do this. Let's do this together. Mm-hmm. And Sean's like,
sure.
Yeah, YouTube. Yeah. YouTube should definitely do ecstasy. And mm-hmm. then swaps it out for Advil.
Yeah. But he leaves the ecstasy in the kitchen and tells Ashley to throw it out. Which Ashley, who has just been told she is boring and mm-hmm. not fun.
Finally, someone was honest with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She takes the E.
I've never done actual ecstasy. I did Molly, which is a different thing.
Okay.
But
actual ecstasy.
But it seemed like off she was
you
way
did off brand ecstasy.
No, I did like, yeah, Molly's a different thing.
Yeah.
Police, if you're listening, it didn't really happen. but I didn't get it from my friend, from my cousin. it was my grandma. but no, it's like, yeah, she just was like so over the top drug.
Oh yeah,
character.
It was not.
And she's
informed.
Not a great actress, so it really doesn't do well.
Yeah, she was really acting drunk. Like that was kind yeah. of how she was acting. But yeah, Ashley gets high and makes a fool out of herself at her own party. Mm-hmm. Then they invite the boys over, which is really just a ploy to get her to say some shit to Jimmy, because yeah. they invite the boys over, and at this point, Ashley has considered breaking up with Jimmy already.
Right.
And she hasn't, because she felt bad for him, which like is not a reason to stay with someone.
No, it's not.
And so her being on drugs makes her very honest with him about mm-hmm. this. He's like, Ashley, you're on drugs. We should get you out of here. And she's like, oh, thanks, Mom. I really should have broken up with you when I wanted to on your birthday. And it's like, ouch. And all the kids are like, wow, Ashley.
Yeah.
And then Paige goes, Ashley, why are you acting like such a hag? And she's like, oh, really? Because that's what I would use to describe you, a hag or whatever she calls Paige.
Yeah.
And then Paige gets mad that Ashley called her a hag, even mm-hmm. though she called her a hag first.
Yeah.
And then...
Because Paige can give it, but she doesn't
can't
take
it. Nope. Mm. And then the party's over. The next morning, Ashley is trying to pick herself up.
Yeah.
And the only people that are still there for her are Terry and Toby.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, shit, I've fucked everything up.
Damn it. I've got the two worst people here.
Yeah. She's like, oh, fuck.
I like Toby.
Yeah. I love Toby and Terry. Yeah. But yeah, she's like, fuck, I've fucked up. And in season 2, we see that manifesting in how, like, when she comes back from the summer and nobody's talking to her. They're all mm-hmm. like, wow, what a weirdo. I hate you.
And it's very important to point out that in the beginning of season 2, Terry has joined a motorcycle gang.
Oh my God.
She's wearing a motorcycle gang for a couple of episodes.
What's really happening is that early 2000s fashion
is motorcycle
is
gang.
Is employing motorcycle gang. Yeah. And what they're trying to do, I can clearly tell. Like, Paige is the trendy girl. Mm-hmm. Hazel is black, so she doesn't really need anything that's like distinguishing at
okay.
in it, that's in TV logic.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm not saying that.
I know.
TV does and is. Yeah. Ashley, at a certain point, will be goth. And they were trying to give Terry a thing. And so they were making her dress like urban in a lot of scenes. It's not always. Sometimes she just dresses like a normal girl. Mm-hmm. But other times she has like cornrows and like bandanas and like the kind of denim that's like an urban denim. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like that dark denim with the white stitching.
Whitewashing in it?
No, the white stitching.
White stitching. Oh, you know yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Terry wears a lot of that stuff mm-hmm. to try to imply that she like dresses like kind of like early 2000s video girls kind of.
Yeah, like pink.
Sure. Yeah, pink is a good example. Thank mostly you. Appropriation of yes, black stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Gwen Stefani.
Sure. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of Terry's style, which is what he means when he says she joined a biker gang.
Well, I think she joined a biker gang. But yeah, that is what I mean.
So we meet new characters in season mm-hmm. two. Should we just go through all the new characters?
Sure, let's do it.
Yeah. So we meet the love of my life, Craig Manning. Every time I watch Degrassi, I mm-hmm. think I hyper focus on a new character and a new actor, and I'm like, this is the person who I'm like obsessed with in this rewatch. Mm-hmm. Last rewatch it was Sean. I think this one it's Craig, because I'm absolutely obsessed with Jake Epstein's acting and just Craig's story in general. Mm-hmm. And season
I'm
two is
choosing not to take that love of your life.
Craig Manning, a fictional character, is indeed the love of my life.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
And especially at this point in the show, less so later.
Okay.
I won't tell you what I mean by that.
Okay.
But.
Well, yeah, I mean, at this point, he's just like a nice guy who gets beat up by his dad.
Yeah.
And that really sucks.
It really sucks, especially when you're nice.
Yeah. Yeah. A mean guy getting beat up by his dad?
Sure.
Totally fine with that. And no, nobody should get beat up by their dad. Except maybe like Hitler.
Yeah. I think he probably did get beat up by his dad.
Yeah, you're right. That probably made him who he was.
Yeah.
Nobody should get beat by their dad.
Yeah.
Dads out there, if you're listening, dads.
Don't beat up your
all
kids.
The dads out there who are listening to this pod. All the dads who love Degrassi.
I'm sure there are plenty.
Okay. Don't beat up your kids.
Don't. Yeah. Just don't. Don't be Albert Manning. Mm-mm. But yeah. So we meet Craig. How do you feel about Craig?
Jealous of him. really intimidated. No, I don't know. He seems like a nice fella mm-hmm. Who's got some demons, but handles them well. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he makes funny faces.
He does. Jake Epstein has such an expressive face.
He does. I think that as the season goes on, his acting is really good. And I think he's a great addition to the cast.
Me too.
I think that, yeah, like him, his intro to the show is him stalking his sister. Which is not really what it is, yeah. But like it is really what it is. He's like yeah. taking pictures of this child.
Random child. Yeah. We've met Angie in the very first
Angie,
episode.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's weird. But then you find out it's like, oh, it's his sister. I guess he just wants to spend time with his sister and his mm-hmm. dad won't let him. I guess that's okay. But still, it was like, dude, you stole your sister from her
yeah,
babysitter.
Yeah, and you were going to take her to British Columbia, even though right. you said you were joking, but you might not have been.
Yeah,
that's still unclear.
He got all this money, and he was going to like buy train tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he, well, wanted to get away from his dad, which, yeah.
Yeah, well, he ends up getting away from his dad by the end of the season,
that's
certainly.
That's for dang sure.
But, yeah, Craig is clearly, and like obviously, coming from a home of abuse mm-hmm. and you know that unpredictability of having an abusive parent and always being like on edge of mm-hmm. how they are gonna react to things creates some mental instability in his own brain,
absolutely,
which we will see more of in the show. Plenty more of Ooh. Yeah, that's
foreshadowing
insane foreshadowing, because I'm like,
does he become Bane from the Batman series?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know who that is.
Okay.
I feel like, honestly,
he was born in the shadows.
I honestly wonder if they planned what he will go through in the coming seasons when they wrote him initially to and then introduced him in season two, because it does all like fit so well. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, we'll find that out.
So
who else is new?
Marco.
Oh, yeah. Marco.
Well, they're not in the opening credits yet.
Right, right.
We also get small lead-ins. So we get the characters that will show up, that will become regulars in season three. And we get like a soft launch, if you will, of Emma, or not Emma, of Ellie and Marco.
Oh, yeah, Ellie too, yeah. Because mm-hmm. she's the only one who will deal with Ashley as a goth.
Yeah. She's the only one who like actually likes Ashley.
Yeah. And it's pretty unclear why.
I mean, they both are like pretentious and
pretentious alternative girls. Mm-hmm, yeah.
And alternative. And Ellie, Ellie's like all like cool and pierced up and she's got such cool fashion. Mm-hmm. And Ashley just is desperately trying to be similar to that.
Yeah, for real.
Ellie's got more of like a punk thing going on, whereas Ashley has more of like a goth, like a full goth, like dark and gloomy thing.
Yeah, our like introduction to their friendship kind of is Ellie taking Ashley to get a piercing. Mm-hmm. And Ashley just chickening not being out. Able to go yeah. through with it. Yeah,
because she's still too soft in yeah. her thinking. Mm-hmm. She's still that preppy girl.
Don't pierce my in her brain. I am going to be a star singer one day.
Yeah, how do you feel about Ellie?
Ellie's fine. Ellie doesn't bring much.
Well, what she does in season two is all she is in season two is Marco's beard.
Yeah, she's Marco's fake girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, I get like, yeah, she has like some good moments in doing that. Mm-hmm. But it's really clearly Marco's storyline. So I'd be curious to see what her storyline gets to be when she gets
yeah.
one eventually.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it'll be interesting. Ellie is one of my favorite characters.
Oh.
Even like season two isn't a, you know, obviously like we just said, she doesn't get to do much in season two.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a really good introduction to her character that it really creates like her accepting being Marco's beard. Like I don't know, like as a 14-year-old, like that's something that's like, I don't know, that's just so like,
yeah, it's like very cool of her to exactly like,
it's so mature. Yeah.
But also like kind of. You're like, okay, what made her so, not meek, meek isn't the right word, but so like willing to take a backseat
yeah,
to her own needs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh, you said it. Take a backseat to her own needs. When me and Aaron recorded Ellie's episode for the character analysis part of this podcast, that is exactly what we were saying. And you will find out why in season three, why she is so quick to put others before herself.
I see.
And it is, and yeah, I do think Ellie's arc is one of the best ones on the show. People will disagree with me. They are wrong. But I do think Ellie's arc is one of the best ones. And her in season two really does set up for that. Like her being so cool with Marco both being gay and her dating him just to get the guys off his back and such. And it's like, it really does set up for what we will eventually see of her. And I'm really excited yeah. to get there. Who else?
We didn't really talk much about Marco.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, we can move on to Marco.
Yeah. Who, like...
Immediately when you saw him, you went, oh, he's gay.
Yeah.
And we spend a few episodes with Marco before his gay plot line is even brought up at all.
Yeah, but it's like... The actor, I think, is clearly a gay man.
Yeah.
And, like, it's clear that... The show knows that that's where his character's going, so he is not. He's presenting, you know, as himself, which is great. But definitely, I was like, I clocked it for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy because Adamo allegedly didn't know he was gay until he played Marco, and that's crazy to me.
Wow.
Because now he's so gay.
The power of television.
Power of acting, honestly. You get to really explore things about yourself that you like didn't know before.
That's true. I had no idea that I was Batman. Until I played Batman in a sketch.
You had no idea you were Optimus Prime until you played... Did you play Optimus Prime?
No,
in
I played a Toyota Camry.
You played the Toyota... So you had no idea you were a Toyota Camry.
I was
Camry.
Getting cucked by Optimus Prime.
Yes.
That was a good sketch.
So we've hit all the new characters. Time to hit some of the big plot points.
Okay.
So obviously Craig's abuse storyline was
huge.
And it opened the season and closed the season, which was so good.
Yeah.
I would say season two was a really well-structured season.
Yeah. There's like three major plot lines and they all take a backseat to little things that happen throughout the season and then come back. To end the season nicely.
Yeah. It's a really nice, like, nicely compacted season. Other seasons I cannot say the same for. But this season, like, yeah, the big plot lines really shine in this season. And Craig's abuse storyline is so good. We're introduced to Craig. We're introduced to his dad. We know that Craig is Joey's stepson from the wife that would then widow Joey.
Right.
So it's a very convoluted relationship.
So did Craig ever live with Joey and
I don't his believe wife?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, so Craig's always been with the dad. So Craig is the stepbrother
yes.
of Joey's daughter.
Yes. He's more the half-brother.
Half-brother, yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, more than he is Joey's stepson.
Yes, yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And the big thing about Albert is he is like there's one line that I think sums up his entire character is when mm-hmm. Craig is like, when Albert finds out that Craig was seeing Joey, and Albert's like, why would you want to see Joey? Just like, why would your mother want to leave a surgeon for a used car salesman? It's like, yeah. Oh, there it is. And that's why Albert hates Joey because, well, mm-hmm. one, because his wife left him for him, yeah. but two, because he knows Craig would leave him for him too.
Yeah.
And he does eventually.
Absolutely. And he should.
As he should, because he doesn't like getting the shit kicked out of him. And yeah. it's so sad.
Because Joey's like a genuine, caring person.
Exactly.
And Albert is just this like controlling surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great character though. And we noticed that Albert's actor has earring holes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what has he done? I bet he was like a punk rocker. And then he got this role. He got this like audition and he was like, somebody's crazy abusive dad, sure, whatever.
I bet he was in Nickelback.
I could see that. Did Nickelback exist at this point?
I don't know. They're Canadian.
But yeah, so yeah, we start the season with that, and then we end the season with the abuse storyline as well. When Craig's dad, so at the for the whole season, Craig has been living with Joey, and his dad has just kind of been out of the picture.
Just cutting into bodies, doing surgeries, going home to no one.
Yep. And by the end of the school year, Albert comes back into Craig's life. Mm-hmm. And Craig is scared, as understandably.
Yeah.
And but he wants to give his dad a chance. And at this point in time, Joey is being... Excuse me. Joey is annoying him a little bit more than normal.
Yeah, because Joey's like asking him to do chores and like...
And up until this point, he was super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at this point, Joey's like, hey, actually, you're going to be here. I kind of need some help.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he's like, maybe I should go back with my dad. And he wants to give his dad a chance so bad.
Yeah. And then like he's talking about it with Ashley, who's like, well, yeah, you should go back with your dad because she doesn't know what the fuck
right.
is up.
Yeah.
And then he goes to visit him at work, his dad at work. And the nurse is like, oh, my God, it's so great to see you. I'm so glad. Your dad has been nothing. He's just been talking about you. He's so in pain without you.
Yeah. But and she lets him know that the dad has been lying to all his coworkers and saying that Craig went off to boarding school.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And it's like, mm-hmm. And then she's like, your dad has just been... such a shell of a man without his son in his home, right?
And these two women who don't know any better are just encouraging
abuse. This cycle of abuse. And so Craig is like, oh, maybe I should give my dad a chance. And so he tries to go to dinner with his dad. The dad tries to buy him, what was it? He got him like tickets to London or something.
Yeah.
And Craig's like, oh my God, tickets to London. Amazing. But then...
So Albert's like, come live with me. And he's like, well, no, I don't want to do that. I do like Joey's.
Yeah, and he likes being with his sister.
Yeah.
And Albert snaps and rushes Leaves. Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he rushes out and then walking down the street. And my favorite part of this argument, so Craig chases him and Albert's stomping down the street and Craig's chasing him and he goes, oh, you're just gonna go live at Joey's and be with your little sister and start dating some interesting goth girl.
Yeah, that's right, because he saw her with
he's seen Ashley. Yeah, he's seen Ashley hanging out with Craig at this point, and he like for some reason has an opinion on her.
Well,
we all have opinions on Ashley Kerwin.
Yeah.
But I found that so funny. I'm like, what do you, a man in your what, late 30s, like have like what ground do you have to judge your son's interest in girls? That's weird. But Craig says something to him. He, you know, yeah, because he was getting into Stav, and he was, but he does say something like really mean that like cuts him. And then Albert just turns around and backhands the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then he falls to the ground.
Cheek bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Oof. And then Craig is like, you're never going to change. And Albert's like, and he's like, and he has like a moment where he's like, oh shit, I am the same.
Yeah.
And he gets in his car and drives off erratically. Mm-hmm. And then the next morning, Craig tells Joey when he comes home that he saw his dad and then he hit him. And then...
And they agree to go to CPS the next day.
Yes.
Or whatever they call it in Canada.
Yeah. The next morning, the cops are at their door and Craig is like, what's going on? Oh my God, my dad called the cops, sent the cops to come get me, you fucking weirdo. Mm-hmm. And then Joey's like, Craig, your father was in an accident. And then Craig, that delivery breaks my heart when he's mm-hmm. like, oh no, he's in the hospital. I got to go see him. Mm-hmm. And Joey's like,
no, he did, boy.
He did not make it.
Yeah.
And then the neck, the whole.
I'm sure he said, no, he dead, boy.
Yeah. No, he dead, boy. But the whole second episode of that is just Craig grieving and how it's weird for him to grieve someone who abused him. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the episode, he and Terry have like a little moment because she has a dead mom.
Truly the only redemptive moment for Terry in the whole season.
Redemptive? She hasn't done anything bad.
No, but just she was in a motorcycle gang.
Oh okay? My God. You're gonna have fun with that in season 3, I promise.
You don't get to just be in the Sons of Anarchy. You know? You have to have redemption
is
after that.
Is that what Sons of Anarchy is about?
Yeah. Terry is the star of Sons of Anarchy.
Oh wow. Is the show that about a motorcycle gang?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I had no clue.
Oh, yeah.
I've never known what that show is about. Anyway.
I just like the guy with the big hair.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you're going to have a lot of fun with Terry being in a motorcycle gang in season 3, I promise you.
Ooh, okay.
but yeah, and Terry has a dead mom and she talks Craig through his grief. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why do I feel sad? Why do I feel sad? She's like, because you loved him, regardless of whether or not he abused you. And that's an important message, I think, for kids.
Yeah.
That, like, you intrinsically will love your parent. No mm-hmm. matter what terrible things they're going to do to you, you don't deserve those things. And also, your heart is, like, attached to them in some way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Especially in those, like, circumstances.
Yeah.
And
like,
it's like...
Like, I will... never not love my parents, even though they paid for my education and like made me get a job and generally have loved me and supported me my whole life.
Yeah.
Exactly. I get it. It's the same.
Yeah, that's totally the same. Yeah. but yeah, and I think Craig's, that's such a good introduction arc for Craig.
Mm-hmm. Hi, editing Keely here from the hospital while I received chemo. But weirdly enough, this whole section where we talk about trigger warning Paige's rape plotline, we lead into it, was completely cut from the audio. Not sure what happened when we recorded, but just know that we have led up to talking about Paige's sexual assault, and I guess this is a great opportunity to add a trigger warning. So yeah, thanks.
I think what makes this especially hard is that they're real teens.
Yeah.
And Lauren Collins is so little. She sure looks is. So little.
Yeah,
and she's so young. She's only like 15 maybe at this time in her life. And the guy that they cast as Dean is like clearly 25.
Yeah. Oh my God. So old.
Yeah. He, if not old, he looks really old and menacing.
He is practically ancient. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he's no business being on the show.
He's so imposing. And, like, yeah, it's just, you get bad vibes from Dean immediately. Like mm-hmm. any adult. And like, that's, I think one of the good things about adults writing teen stuff, which is rare. There's rarely good things about mm-hmm. adults writing teen stuff. But, one of the good things about adults writing teen stuff is the ability to write those moments in a teen life where you think something else is happening, but from an adult lens, you know what's happening.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Where so, it's like the show is making it clear what's going on, but clearly Paige is in her own world.
Exactly. Yeah. So like all the time she's interacting with Dean, as an adult, I'm like, this is predatory. He has predatory intentions, which also is great on the actor because mm-hmm. his intentions are so clear every time they talk.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. So like he invites Paige to this party, the party scene. She dresses very sexily to this party because she wants his attention. Mm-hmm. And a girl pulls her aside at the party and is like, look, I don't know what Dean told you. He has a tendency to go after young impressionable freshmen. You really need to like slow your roll. And Paige mm-hmm. is like, you're just jealous. And Dean is like, and then Dean knows that that girl is telling Paige about him and his mm-hmm. ways. And
he probably did this to her before.
He has probably done this to girls before.
No, her specifically, but yes.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe her specifically.
That was my read on it anyway.
Yeah, maybe. But she was, I mean, it doesn't really matter if they were the same age or not, but yeah, you could be
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I feel like it read to me more like she had a friend or
okay.
something.
Yeah.
But he takes Paige upstairs away from all of the people who are going to tell her that he's a rapist.
Right.
And then he proceeds to do the yeah, rape.
And she starts out into it. And then as soon yeah. as she realizes what's all happening, she
wanted,
says no.
All she wanted was a kiss. And that's yeah. the like, and like that is a uniquely female experience, I feel, mm-hmm. is like walking into a situation with, like, it's not even innocent intentions. It's more of just like, there's no way that someone would want more out of this interaction than
right.
that. Right. And then it's like, oh, wait, no. Turns out people can say hi to me and want to fuck me immediately. Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And so that's the first part of that episode. But the second part of that episode takes an interesting turn into Battle of the Bands.
That was insane.
It was because it was funny because we were watching the first part of the episode and Ezra's like, oh, I don't like this. Oh, this makes me uncomfortable. Oh, and I'm like, yeah. Trust me, the second part of this episode is going to be a full 180. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, there's no way you can guess what happens in the next episode. And he's like, huh. And then the next episode happens and literally like 30 seconds in, they're like, there's a Battle of the Bands. And he's like, is she going to write a song about this?
And sort of.
Ashley did.
Ashley writes it. And Paige hates it. But yeah. then it ends up being powerful for her, which is, yeah. you know, it's a nice moment of like, oh, I guess Ashley has some value.
Ashley has value as a creative brain, I think.
Yeah.
We cannot trust her to present that creativity in right. any kind of way that's not going to offend somebody. because, yeah, the whole Ashley and Paige thing in that episode makes me so livid. Ashley researched rape on the net and decided, I'm going to write a song about it.
Not exactly in her defense, but like something that I think informs this a little bit is that she doesn't know Paige has been through this. So
right.
it's not like she's like, my research is worth more than your experience or anything.
Yeah.
But she doesn't understand that her research can't give any like true truth to the experience.
Yes. And I think the part of it that makes me so mad is that Ashley's just doing this in her free time.
Right.
Which she does with other things, too. That's how Ashley and Emma are very similar, where Ashley, in her free time, is just looking up fucking terrible stories of, like, assault and rape and mm-hmm. being like, I'm going to use this for my creativity. And then she also did that shit with, like, remember the Miss Kwan project she did where she was like, Yolanda woke up from the thing and yeah. and it's like, is she researching shit on like the Spanish Civil War or something. Yeah. This is clearly like a marginalized group she's writing about, which
Absolutely.
She's not a part of. Like she just does this shit in her free time.
But
which
she's in a marginalized
mad.
Group now.
She's
a goth.
Honestly, though, like, yeah, like that. Write about being goth because that's what made that first version of Poor Thing so real mm-hmm. because it was about her experience being outcast with her friends.
Right, right.
And then she decided to turn Poor Thing into a rape anthem, which was dishonest. And it yeah. only became honest when Paige was the one singing it.
Mm-hmm. Which definitely was the message of the episode. But I'm still like, how can it possibly be like, you know what the right follow-up to a episode where a child gets raped is? A Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, like, it's insane.
It doesn't, yeah.
We wrap that up toward the end of the season too, where Paige has been going to therapy and she's been talking through it, but she thinks she's better. Mm-hmm. But then our basketball team, the Panthers, are playing against Bardell, which is where Dean is from, mm-hmm. In a basketball game.
So Dean comes to her school and invades her space again.
Exactly. And she starts having, you know, the problems again where she's like feeling anxious and scared, and she doesn't want to feel that way. She doesn't want to be afraid of him anymore. Mm-hmm. And she opens up to JT, which that's a fun like through line of the season is JT and Paige's like little friendship here mm-hmm. and there, which is really cute because it starts out toward the beginning of the season when he makes her take him on a date.
Yeah.
Or no, her friends.
Her friends bribe pay her to go on a date with JT because JT's told Toby that like he's going to make Paige his.
Yeah, because he wants ultimate popularity and mm-hmm. that's how he can get it is by dating mm-hmm. Paige.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout, and so they have a nice little date, and by the end of that date they're friends,
right?
And then throughout the season it's little like he's like her pesky little friend, like mm-hmm. she's just like, oh my god, stop being so cute, he's adorable. Mm-hmm. And I won't even get there. The dance when he's taking Liberty to the dance and then he's gonna ask Paige, and then Liberty comes up and he can't ask Paige, and he's like, can you help Liberty pick out her dress? And Paige is like, oh, I thought you were going to ask me. And it's like, cute.
He should have. Mm. I mean, no, he couldn't have. Because that would have been so mean to Liberty.
That would have been so mean. She doesn't deserve it.
No. Liberty's fine.
Yeah.
But back to this, like, mm-hmm. JT knows something's wrong.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what. And he, like, he's the only one who's, like, following up with her and trying to, like, figure it out. And she, like, storms out of the basketball game. And he's in mascot costume and goes out and like drops being the mascot to go talk to her.
JT's such a good boy.
Yeah. And she tells him, and then he runs in and in the mascot costume tries to kick Dean's ass on the court.
It's so
and
good.
Dean starts fighting back, and then somehow, like, even though the mascot ran in and attacked this kid, the Dean gets ejected from the game, which I think is well deserved, obviously, because of what he actually did. But like, it's so funny to me that like the mascot just came in and started wailing on this dude, and he's like, "Yeah, the ref's like, you're out of here."
And
then Spinner has been like trying to figure out what's wrong with her too, sort of,
because like at this point, at the beginning of the season, he was trying to go for Paige, but then she blew him off for Dean,
right?
And then they are not on great terms by the end of Shout Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
But then they, you know, they run in the same circle. So it would be hard for them to not be on good terms mm-hmm. for the rest of the season. So then for the rest of the season, they're friends again. And then this episode comes up and he's like, he's trying to go after her again. Or maybe she's trying to go after him.
I think...
Because, like, she leave therapy and she's like, hey, Spinner, right?
Yeah, now that she's feeling better, mm-hmm. she's like, okay, I can get back to going after Spin Doctor for mm-hmm. some reason.
And, he's developed this nickname for Spinner, which is Spin Doctor, and I don't know what that is.
I don't really either.
But it's okay, because it has his name in it, so people know who you're fucking talking about. Yeah.
Spin gets the girl, even though JT's the one who stood up for him.
Okay.
I'm upset about it.
Spinner also fucking kicked Dean's ass.
True.
As soon as he found out what actually happened, he was like, oh, because Spinner was, and I think Spinner, in defense of Spinner Mason, I think, and I'm going to have to say this a lot in this show, in defense of Spinner Mason, I do think that him being blown off by Paige, granted, it turned out the worst possible way for her.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that fucking sucks. But also, he was blown off by her, and his mm-hmm. feelings were hurt by that.
Yeah.
So, of course, he's not going to be, like, all up in her business when he feels like she doesn't like him like mm-hmm. that. And it isn't until he finds out why, actually, this happened and it worked out terribly for her, and she was hurt by this.
Yeah.
And it was a choice that she made that didn't work out for her. He was like, okay, well, now I understand. Mm-hmm. Now we can
go to the dance.
Yeah, we can move forward.
Even though she should be going with JT.
Are you gonna? Is this gonna be your? Is JT and Paige gonna be like your ship?
I guess so.
What you're hoping happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, plot is Marco's coming out.
Yeah,
which
definitely
isn't happening yet. I guess his coming out is coming up, but his accepting that he's gay.
Yeah, he finally, like, he sort of comes out to Ellie in the middle of the season, yeah, but is like, but maybe not. And then Ellie's like, still trying to like kiss him and stuff, and right, he's like, oh, I gotta be like, no, I'm not trying to kiss you, girl.
Yeah, unfortunately, and that's a good through line of, you know, characters that aren't even regulars yet. Like, yeah, I do like the way that they introduce new characters. Like, they soft launch them. Mm-hmm. They're like, here's a small B plot, C plot with these characters so that you can get warmed up to them. And then, mm-hmm, we'll hard launch them in season three. Yeah. And that's, you know, Ellie and Marco, their relationship, their friendship is really fun. And like, just to watch the kind of how teens reacted to being gay in the, mm-hmm, early 2000s, where it was kind of like, you know, the boys being terribly homophobic to Marco all the time. And it's all the boys that we love, too. It's like, and that's one of the parts of the show that I really love, is like, they're not afraid to make the characters we like normal and bad.
Yeah.
Like Spinner, for example, he's homophobic. He's never really racist, but he's Islamophobic.
For sure. Yeah.
And in the Hazel episode, and sorry, if you don't know the Hazel episode, Don't Believe the Hype, is when there's a lot of Islamophobia happening at Degrassi. Mm-hmm.
First by Hazel. And then we find out that Hazel is Muslim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Spinner shows his ass so much in that episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, yeah, they're not afraid to make characters actual people who need to learn things. And we see the boys be terribly homophobic toward Marco. We see the girls be a little more accepting. Like, the girls are just kind of like, you're gay. Yeah, whatever. Like, Paige is like, well, my brother's gay. And Ashley's, mm-hmm, like, yeah, my dad's gay. And Ellie's like, my boyfriend's gay.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ellie still holds out hope that Marco will like her, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
But by the end of the season, he's like, yeah, I won't like you. And she's like, I understand.
She makes him do like the gayest photo shoot.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, why aren't you straight? Yeah. And then when Ashley's asking her about the project, and Ellie's like, what are you gonna do for your project? And Ellie goes, Marco's really into Bollywood movies. And Ashley's like, you can see in her brain, she's just like, gay, 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 yeah, gay. And then she's like, you guys are the perfect couple.
Yeah.
But yeah, any other highlights of the season you wanna? Oh, there was one that I wanted to highlight.
Yeah.
Manny and Craig.
Yeah.
Manny and Craig go on a date, and it's cute.
It's cute. Manny is a child, full child.
Well, if that is from Craig's point of view, we don't know exactly.
We see Manny's point of view, where Craig is very sweet, mm-hmm, and she's very flirtatious. Then we see Craig's point of view, where Craig is like trying to cope with Manny being a full child. And the reality is probably somewhere in the middle,
but I do think it leans Craig.
I think so too. Yeah. I think, yeah, Manny is a cute kid,
mm-hmm,
who's, you know, like growing up faster than she's really ready for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a pretty astute observation.
Thank you. I'm a pretty astute Bane.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, wait, I said I was Batman earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Let me take that again.
Okay.
I'm a pretty astute Batman.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe Manny at, mm-hmm, this point. She's trying to grow up faster than she's ready for. And yeah, that'll come back.
No, yeah.
That theme of her is definitely.
Well, and then she also, in the last episode with Paige confronting Dean, Manny and Dean are talking, and Dean's hitting on Manny, and Paige is like, comes up to her, and is like, you know, she gives the same warning that girl gave to her,
mm-hmm,
and Manny's like, you're just jealous.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, the same thing is happening, mm-hmm, here. Mm-hmm. And fun fact, you're going to forget this by the time we get there, so I'll just say it.
Okay.
They pay homage to that scene in seasons later, like way toward the end of the series, season maybe 13, 14. Wow. There is another rape storyline where one character who was the victim,
mm-hmm,
sees her assaulter chatting up a younger cheerleader, and she's like, and she runs up, but it's a lot more dramatic. She runs up and she's like, stay away from her. It's like, wow. And people are like, oh my God, she's crazy. But
she had a good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And I pick up really easily the homages they pay to the original series, mm-hmm. Or not the original series, to the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
Which is like interesting that it lasted so long to get self-referential.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I guess that's all the major plot points. Were there any
there's
more?
Also Spike and Snake getting married.
Oh my god. Yeah. Spike and Snake get married in season 2.
Yeah.
And they have a or they get pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so fun. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I really love the wedding episode. White Wedding is a really good episode, and I do think it's like a turning point in the series, honestly. Like up until this point the camera work is different. The characters are kind of different, mm-hmm. and then White Wedding happens and it feels like all of the characters are solidified in who they yeah. are, and the lighting gets lighter and the camera work gets better.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, did you notice that?
I didn't put a finger on it, but yeah, something had changed for
toward
sure.
Like every episode, like all of season 1 and the first half of season 2 is kind of dark. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of dark and it's like got a lot of still shots, and then White Wedding happens and the camera work gets way more interesting. Mm-hmm. The lighting is lighter.
There were definitely in White Wedding there were walk and talks for the first time.
So many walk and talks.
And then they started like filtering those in nicely and like using them well instead of just being like all still or all walk and talk.
Right. Yeah. And then
it's like the director was like, I'm going to try moving the camera.
Yeah.
And then the next episode was like, maybe I only move the camera some of the time.
Some of the time, yeah. And then, And then also, I think White Wedding is the moment that Manny becomes Manny. Because up until this point, she's mm-hmm. just kind of Emma's friend, just kind of hanging out, you know. But White Wedding happens, and she is so funny. Mm-hmm. They're playing to Cassie's strengths so much mm-hmm. in that episode, and then they keep it the rest of the season mm-hmm. and the rest of the series, honestly. Like, we really get to see who Manny as a character is in that episode, which is so random because it's not even Manny's episode.
Yeah. I remember you saying either before that episode or before the whole season that, like, between season 1 and season 2, Cassie Steele went to acting school.
Oh, yeah. And she definitely did. That pratfall in the wedding episode kills me every time. It's so stupid and out of nowhere. It's like, why?
Yeah. She's definitely the best part of the show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She is my favorite.
Mine too.
Yeah.
And I would say that it's possible that my opinion is colored by knowing your opinion. Mm-hmm. But also, genuinely, she's just great.
Yeah, she is just great. And she's most people's favorite.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I think it's just that she's incredible. Mm-hmm. I guess we took White Wedding and I decided to make it a Manny thing. We should also talk about Spike and Snake, actually.
Sure, I guess.
Snake and Spike, or I guess how it relates to Emma mm-hmm. more so. Emma gets a stepdad.
Yeah.
And that's so big because up until this point, it's just been her and her mom. Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't take it well at first.
No.
It takes some getting used to,
mm-hmm, which idea. Is real. Yeah, though it takes a half a season to get used to.
Yeah, but that's pretty long. That's 6 months, probably.
Yeah, and by the end, we find out that Emma is pro-life. And not pro-choice. And I wish I was lying. Like, we watched it, and he was joking, like, "Wow, Emma's pro-life," and I was like, yeah," and it will come back.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. And we found out through this show that I'm not just pro-choice, I'm pro-abortion.
Yes.
I think abort first, and then if you decide, maybe I don't want an abortion, then you have a kid.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about that.
She's smiling. It's okay.
Yeah. It only happened because I was like, you know, you want a lot of abortions. He was like, yes. And I was like, okay. Interesting take.
I just think, like, have a kid when you want to have a kid. That's
yes,
all.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I am also pro-abortion.
But Emma is not. Emma really finds not. Out that her mom is considering an abortion and hasn't told Snake even that she's pregnant yet. And in the middle of the night sneaks out to go to Snake's bachelor party and tell him.
Crazy. And Snake is like, what kind of family is this? Is this how information gets passed? And it's like, oh my God, Archie, you're
this no, is you're just dealing with a crazy child.
Exactly. This is all Emma. This is not. And
so then there's like a dramatic, like, will they or won't they show up for the wedding? Mm-hmm. It's like, they will.
They will. And they do. And they get married in t-shirts and jeans. Mm-hmm. And it's so them.
Yeah.
Also, throughout all of this, Emma has a really bad perm.
Such a bad perm. because Spike left it in too long because she got distracted by the pregnancy test.
Yeah. But yeah, were there any other points?
What characters are we not paying attention
Jimmy
to?
Jimmy didn't really do much.
What did Jimmy do? Jimmy had a party.
Jimmy had a party where Sean got drunk.
Yeah.
And then he and Sean were good, and that's why he invited him to the party. Mm-hmm. And then Sean stole his parents' alcohol, and then Jimmy was like, get the fuck out of my house. Mm. Like, I thought we were good, and now we're not.
Yeah.
Spinner.
And then, yeah, I think Jimmy also, like, texted a bunch of underage girls at one point.
Oh, my God.
Can't lose my Drake jokes.
I know.
She is rolling her eyes hard.
Yes. Hazel was dealing with her internalized Islamophobia.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because we find out that at her old school she was hate crimed.
Yeah.
And and now she feels that she needed to, in order to fit in, she needed to also make fun of other Muslim people, mm-hmm. such as Farisa was her name.
I think so.
And who wore hijabs and stuff. And then she lies to the school and says that she's Jamaican. Terry was a plus size model this season.
Oh, that's right. And some guy who doesn't exist named Muhammad was making fun of her.
Yeah.
And then never showed up again.
What do you make, ice cream boy? I think that's it.
Yeah.
Toby, what did Toby do?
What did Toby do?
Toby and JT tried to see the stripper at the wedding.
That's true. At Snake's
Liberty.
Sorry. Oh, Liberty, yeah.
But yeah,
at Snake's bachelor party, Toby and JT convince Craig to convince Joey to get a stripper so that they can sneak in and see it. And they go in like full, like dressed as robbers gear, like trying to spy and watch. And they fall asleep in the tree and forget to and miss it.
Yeah, so good.
And then it turns out at the wedding that the stripper is is like Spike's friend.
Yeah, she Spike does her hair.
Yeah,
and she's like shows up and they're like, oh my god, it's Fancy.
Fancy's at the wedding.
And they're like, and then Craig, who is an usher, he's like, bride or groom's side, and she's like, oh, the bride. Christine does my hair, and he's like, oh. And then Toby got an eating disorder this season.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Toby tried to be a wrestler and mm-hmm.
tried to make weight.
Yeah, I got an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm. First eating disorder of the series given mm-hmm. to a boy. I thought that was great.
That is cool. Yeah, I didn't think mm-hmm. about it that way. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they were probably like, I'm sure they tackled eating disorders in the original series. Mm-hmm. And they were like, how can we make this fresh and new? We need to talk about how boys get eating disorders. And that's something I feel like we still, 20 something years later, don't talk enough about in the fitness world. There's like a TikTok I saw of some guy who's saying that if you season your meat, you lack discipline. And he was dead serious.
What the
he was saying, wow. If you make your meat taste good, you lack discipline, basically because you want to eat more of it if it tastes good.
Oh,
he's just trying to fuel his body without liking food. It's so sad.
It's so sad.
It's so sad.
There are a few joys in life better than cooking and eating good
exactly.
food.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why don't tell a cancer patient what to fucking eat, because it pisses us off. Oh, Liberty. We didn't really talk
Liberty,
much about Liberty.
Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. Yeah, what about her?
She was a tyrannical hockey manager.
Oh, that's right.
Floor hockey manager.
Yeah, she didn't make the floor hockey team, mm-hmm. but she got to be the manager. And then the coach, we didn't talk about hot coach.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, wait, we didn't talk about Miss Hatzilakos.
Yeah.
New teacher.
I can't believe her name is Hatzilakos when she's hot. That's funny.
It's very Greek. Well, yeah, like we have Miss Hatzilakos, and mm-hmm. she's the new hot teacher. Mm-hmm. And
JT tries to get with her at one point, mm-hmm. but then accidentally kills a gerbil or something.
He does not.
Oh, right. He saves it. He saves a guinea
Isabella,
pig.
Isabella gives birth. Yeah.
He's giving birth. I don't know. I'm kidding.
And
Liberty is what we were talking about.
Yes. Which, and Miss Hatzilakos coaches the floor hockey team mm-hmm. and makes Liberty the manager, and the girls have to fight.
Yeah, there's only enough funding for the boys team to get jerseys, and they're like, no, you have to give it to one of us. You have to give us jerseys too, and they're like, all right, play for it.
Yeah. Because Joey is the sponsor for them.
Right.
Yeah. And he can only afford one team. Okay. And so Liberty, as the manager, becomes a tyrant, and they're like, fuck off, Napoleon. Mm-hmm. And none of her, none of the girls that are on the floor hockey team want to deal with her. And so she has to learn how to be bossy and nice.
Yeah. Oh, you know, who leads the hockey team is, and something we forgot about with Toby.
Kendra Mason. Kendra. That was Toby's season
Toby's storyline was being in love with Kendra Mason.
Yeah.
And not trying not to piss off Spinner, mm-hmm. who's her older brother.
Yeah.
Who threatens to kick his ass if he goes anywhere near her.
In the multicultural episode, did you catch what was on Spinner's multicultural pizza?
I did not.
So he made a multicultural pizza, because remember the whole episode, Spinner saying like, I don't have a culture.
Right.
I'm white. And then they're like, everyone has a culture. And so then he makes a pizza of all of his like white things, and Mr. Radich comes up and takes a slice of it, and he's like, what is on this? And Spinner says like, Swedish meatballs, something else, some kind of German sausage or something like that, and Chinese water chestnuts for my sister. And he's like, he doesn't say for my sister, he's in honor of my sister. Oh, and Mr. Radich is like, this is disgusting.
Water chestnuts on pizza. Oh my
sounds
god,
so gross. Yeah, Kendra is fun. And I had explained to Ezra that it seemed as though they were trying to set up a new grade 7 class mm-hmm. for season 3. And then they didn't really go through with it because they were like, we want to focus more on the two classes that we already have mm-hmm. instead of expanding. Because as it would prove later in the series, once you expand to more than two grades, you lose... like
there's just so much going on.
There's too much going on. Yeah. But yeah, that's like season 2 basically.
Yeah, I think we wrapped season 2. Yeah.
There's other things.
Let us know in the comments if we missed anything that you care about.
Please do.
I won't read them, but Keely might.
Yeah. There aren't comments. This is a podcast.
Yeah, it's so hard to predict, but I don't really know what to say. But
what about we've got like one looming thing happening from season 2 to season 3 is Emma's about to become a big sister.
Oh yeah, Emma's about to become a big sister. I bet the baby is an alien.
That'd be cool. What do you think happens with Manny?
Oh, I think Manny becomes the new Paige, okay. But she's nice and cool about it.
Okay, cool, cool. Mm-hmm. What do you think happens with Paige?
How do you think
Paige gets dethroned?
Paige gets dethroned because Paige gets dethroned because she dates Spinner and Spinner sucks. But she's like, she chooses Spinner over popularity.
Okay. Ooh, that's a terrible choice if that were to happen.
I know. I hope it doesn't.
Yeah. How about, Ashley?
I think Ashley briefly wasn't goth for a second and then was like, no, I don't like this, and went back to being goth. Right. So I think she leans harder into it and she becomes one of the lost boys.
Like from Peter Pan?
No, from the 80s movie, vampire movie, The Lost Boys.
Oh, okay. What about Marco and his coming out?
Oh, I don't think that goes super well for him.
okay.
No, I think that it doesn't go well, like, initially, but then eventually people accept him. But, like, mm-hmm. he has a really hard time maintaining his friendships with Jimmy and Spinner. Okay. I think Jimmy probably is, like, on the surface accepting, but then, like, goes along with Spinner not being accepting.
Okay, interesting.
And who's the other boy?
Sean, usually.
Sean.
Sometimes Craig.
Sean, you know what? I think Sean's like cool. Sean's really cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig doesn't care.
Okay, what about Craig as a character? I guess we are going character by character. But what about Craig? Do you have predictions for Craig?
Well, you seem to imply that he has some darkness to him. So I think that he probably... perpetuates the cycle of abuse. Sorry, sad prediction, but that's what I think.
Okay. Yeah, it is a sad prediction.
Yeah. Not about funny like my normal predictions. I'm sorry.
JT, Toby, Liberty.
I think JT, Toby, and Liberty also perpetuate the cycle of abuse. No. I think that JT and Liberty continue this like stupid thing where Liberty wants to love him and he doesn't want to love her. Based on the way you phrase that, I don't think Kendra and Toby stay a thing. I think probably disappears.
Well, Kendra's just in the grade under them, which is why I didn't loop her in.
Oh, okay.
And she never becomes a regular.
Yeah, that's she
you
probably
are
just
right.
Fades out.
Yeah, yeah. But That I will tell you that is a correct prediction.
Yeah, that's too bad. I liked her character, honestly.
Mm-hmm. She
mostly
was fun.
Just because she's a badass hockey player.
We don't know if it's true or not. It might have just been a rumor, but once we get to that point, I'll tell you.
Is she the Joker?
No.
Okay. I got my three Batman something, jokes in. I'm good.
Something happens on the series that her family didn't agree with, allegedly.
Oh, interesting.
And they pulled her out.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Now I have to predict what that is.
yeah, what do you think is the most... So on Degrassi, their mm-hmm. tagline for a lot of the series was, it goes there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to be the most going there thing that happens in season 3?
Wow. Well, I feel like my prediction is colored by knowing that Kendra's family was upset by it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm thinking there's like maybe anti-Asian immigrant violence or something, which is way too big, probably.
No.
That's just something that's in American culture right now. Which
yeah,
is like,
which sucks.
God, what's the most goes there thing that happens on this season? Okay. I think that in a prank,
oh my God,
JT accidentally burns the school down.
Oh my God. Is that the whole thing?
I don't know.
Okay.
This is really hard.
Okay. That's okay. Somebody burns the school down is what you're saying. is the most going there thing that happens
know.
In season 3.
No, I don't like it.
It doesn't have to be funny.
Yes, it does. That's my role. I don't know. It's very hard to make predictions because it's just so open-ended. But I'll say the most going there thing that happens this season is a teen pregnancy.
Okay.
I think that they can't get away from that trope. They do it every couple of seasons.
That is true.
Oh,
that okay. They do it every couple seasons. I will give you that.
Oh, okay.
I won't say every couple seasons, but it shows up multiple times mm-hmm. in this series. Yes.
And I think it's Terry.
Okay.
And the father is in the motorcycle gang.
Okay. Thanks. Wrapping that up. All right.
Uh-huh.
What ships would you like to see?
Okay, I definitely want to see JT and Paige. I think that mm-hmm. I think it's because it's my favorite boy and my favorite girl.
Yeah, that's
although
good.
Manny is my favorite character, and I would just like to see her be happy. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she'd be happy with JT.
Okay. All right. And to lead us into going back to episode by episode recaps.
Yes.
I'm so excited. What is your prediction for season 3, episode 1?
The primary.
Emma is our primary primary character.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I think that we meet Emma's dad. And he turns out to be, I don't have any jokes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm burnt out.
He turns out to be, the Prime Minister of Canada.
Yeah. I think
Justin Trudeau.
I think that we meet the Prime Minister of Canada and he turns out to be Emma's dad.
Yeah.
And I think that, there's like a conflict. Like, I think that there's a time jump. Well, of course, it goes to the next school year.
The next school year, yeah.
But I think that, they probably do an episode on the baby being born. Mm-hmm. So, no, the baby's not already there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Emma has to decide which of her two dads she wants to keep.
Oh, my God.
Justin Trudeau or Snake.
Or Snake. And she has a gun. And she's and she's pointing it between the two of them. Can't mm-hmm. decide.
Which one's the real dad? Yeah. And they're like, we're two different people. It's not that situation. It's not an evil clone thing.
Okay. Good guess. All right, good
edit
guess.
That to make it coherent.
It was coherent.
Okay.
Well, we did it. We recapped seasons 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And now we're going to get into the good seasons. That's all I've been wanting. I'm so excited. I guess all that's left to do is ask you, are you a Degrassi fan yet?
I think so. I think they really handled Yay. Some hard topics pretty well. And there's some humor in it. And there's characters I don't care about, but there's some characters I really like. So, yeah, I think, yeah.
Recapping it with you just now, I could see like your eyes light up when we talked about certain characters and mm-hmm. certain parts. And I was like, ha. Got him.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely like good storytelling, and this is genuinely good storytelling. So mm-hmm. you know.
It won't always be. So
okay,
cherish it while you can.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, so I guess that's our episode.
Well, I have a question for you.
All right.
Having watched a whole season and a couple extra episodes of Degrassi with me mm-hmm. in your hospital room. while I make jokes like what we've heard on this episode. Mm-hmm. Do you still want to kill me? I mean, date me.
Yeah, I guess.
Wow. I'll take it.
All of the reader or the reader, the listener will not know why I'm so exasperated saying this, because I've cut all of the jokes that would make me say this.
I think you should leave some in, so this makes sense.
Mm. But where can people find you on social media?
Oh, yeah. I am at Ezra Partier on Instagram, at Ezra Parter on TikTok and Twitter. My show, Daily Misinformer, is at Daily Misinformer on Instagram and TikTok. It's great. And I've got a couple of sketch groups at Public Breakup and at Bounce House.
Ooh, do you guys have an Instagram yet?
I need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can follow me at OMG It's Key on Instagram. You can follow my fun chemo, I'm calling it my hashtag cozy chemo fall. Follow my cancer journey, which I hate calling things a journey, but you know, whatever. you can follow me on TikTok at OMG It's Key. Lately, I've been not talking about a lot of Degrassi on there, but I've been talking about a lot of screenwriting and musicals, mm-hmm. which is fun. So yeah, if you like those things, definitely go to my TikTok. And you can follow the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast, or you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com.
Maybe on there.
Yeah, maybe. I still actually need to check if we ever get reviews.
I know, I've never looked.
Yeah, I should do that right after we are done. Okay. But yeah, we've been recording for a very long time. I'm going to have such a fun time editing this.
Mm-hmm. I made it easy.
But yeah, we can't wait to come back. We don't know when. I'm going back in for chemo this week, so I don't know, but or maybe I have COVID, we still don't know. But we don't know when we'll be able to come back, but we're excited to, and
we sure are.
Yeah, so yeah, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.